Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for April 30th, 2017. This is your host, Paul White. Glad to be with you as we journey through Romans chapter 8. We're in the third verse. We dealt with a lot of the third verse yesterday, the end of the verse, how it ties into the first couple of verses. I want to deal with the first half of the verse and that transition into verse 4, because if you'll notice, verse 4 is not a standalone thought. It's the continuation of a sentence that started at the top of verse 3. Let's read verse 3. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And in dealing with that last half yesterday, we talked about God sending Jesus like sinful flesh, not as sinful flesh, but like it, for the reason of sin, and then condemn sin in the flesh of Jesus. Why does he do this? Well, that is to take care of the condemnation problem from verse 1. But the law tried to do it. Verse 3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, what I mean by the law tried to do it, let me clear that up. I don't mean that God tried to combat the sin issue with the law. I think man thought he could combat the sin issue with the law. I think he had the idea that his conscience would be better off if he could do the good and get blessed for it and avoid the bad. What he didn't realize was that when you enter into that sort of arrangement, the power of don't do it becomes overwhelming, which Paul has just talked about in the 7th chapter. And the law is holy. I'm back in Romans 7:12. I mean, we didn't have to go very far to get this description. The law is holy, the commandment is holy, and it's just, and it's good, but the law could not do something. According to 8:3, it couldn't do something because it was weak due to our flesh. Our flesh trying to keep the law was a weakness. What was it that the law could not do? Well, that is verse 4, which is a continuous thought. So let's read 3 and 4 together. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the law could not bring about righteous requirements because our flesh got in the way. Our flesh is weak, incapable of stopping the things it wants to stop and starting the things it wants to start. So God sends himself, wraps himself in an earth suit, as I like to say, in the likeness of sinful flesh, on the account of sin. He condemns our sin in the flesh. He doesn't have to condemn his sin. He doesn't have any. He condemns sin as an institution, that it no longer can be held over man's head. He condemns sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law, which you could not fulfill because your weak flesh wouldn't let you, in verse 3, now that Christ has done it, the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled not in him, but in us. Christ doesn't need to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. Why will that appease God? We need to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law, but Christ does it through us. I got sidetracked for a long time in this message by thinking that Jesus came to fulfill the law so that God would be appeased because God was mad because no one was fulfilling the law. Where did I get that? That's not what happens. Why if Jesus could fulfill it, then it's fulfilled for me? Listen. Or why does God need one man to fulfill it? Christ becomes the sacrificial offering for all of us so that the righteous requirement, the law wants man right in the eyes of God, but our flesh won't let us do that. But that righteous requirement is fulfilled in us because, why? End of verse 4. For those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk according to the flesh? Well, verse 3 said the law could not do something because it was weak through flesh. So God sent his Son in the likeness of flesh on account of sin, condemned sin in his flesh, so that you and I would stop walking in that flesh. So if the law couldn't be fulfilled because of our flesh was unable to fulfill the law, then what would it mean to walk according to the flesh? It would mean walking according to your effort, trying to keep rules, regulations, the law. If you keep it, you feel good in your flesh. If you fail, you feel bad in your flesh. The moment you go back to that kind of Christianity, where you're trying to fulfill these righteous requirements through your actions, you'll slip into the narrative of Romans 7. You'll end up doing what you don't want to do, not being able to do what you want to do. You'll have this battle between the law of God and the law of sin, and you'll need a new revelation that it can't be condemning to you because Christ has already condemned it in his flesh. And in that moment, that revelation equips you to stop the insanity of trying to perform for a God who is pleased, who is excited, who is happy. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in those who walk according to the Spirit. Now, I told you a couple of days ago that we've had very little of the Holy Spirit until the 8th chapter, but now you're going to have an explosion of the Holy Spirit. And why is this? Because in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what's made you free from the law of sin and death. Now you've been introduced to something you could not be introduced to under the law. The Holy Spirit is on the scene. And due to the fact that the Holy Spirit is on the scene in Christ, those of you who are in Christ have actually done two things. You have fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law, and you have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. And since the Holy Spirit must testify of Jesus, by default, the Holy Spirit is testifying that you're righteous and that you're not condemned. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us and then tells us the covenant and what it looks like, and that in verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds will I remember no more. The Holy Spirit witnesses this to us. So the Holy Spirit is in the job of witnessing to you of who you are in Christ. Tomorrow on the podcast, the next day and the next day, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we have a guest. He is going to talk, we're going to talk about Israel and their place in the covenant, and we're really going to hone in on the 11th chapter of Romans, right around the 26th verse, and I know we're not there yet in our chronological study, and I thought about holding this interview until later in the summer when we get there, but we're going to go ahead and throw it out there, and then you can dwell on it. It's going to be a great next 3 days. When we come back to the verse by verse, I hope you'll go with us in this little interview. When we come back to the verse by verse on May 4th, we'll do so at verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. Have a great day. Grace to you. God bless.